think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Come on.
Welcome to Life Pod. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Farzad Rashidi. Farzad, are you ready to do this?
Yes, sir. I'm very excited. Thanks for having me on the show, George.
Excited to have you on. Farzad is the co-founder of Respana. They are the all-in-one digital PR, influencer marketing, link-building software. They combine personalization with productivity. Again, excited to have you on. Farzad, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure thing. So just to start with the professional life, because I think that would be probably something that most folks are interested in. I'm an immigrant myself. I came here when I was 17, Iranian originally, and I started my career in marketing back in, I don't remember how many years it's been. Getting old, I guess. But back in a company called Visme. Have you heard of Visme before, George?
I had before I was poking around a little bit on you this morning.
Ah, awesome. Perfect. Well, I joined as the first marketing hire at the time. Visme is a tiny little startup. For folks who don't know what it is, it's a design platform built for businesses. So if you want to create any sort of like presentations, infographics, reports, etc., you could plug in your brand guidelines and it sort of helps you sort of create these graphics quickly. And so the product was very cool. And then especially at the time, I know folks like Canva and some of the other somewhat competitors hadn't taken off then. And basically was introduced a team of engineers and designers. They're like, okay, this is all we got. So you're our best shot at going out and start selling this thing. And I was like, okay,
here we go.
Well, yes, thanks. So let's try to figure out what we're going to do in terms of not only short-term sale, but also how are we going to build a customer acquisition strategy that would, you know, be still applicable 5 to 10 years from now, building it well so that it would basically bring us customers on an evergreen basis. So we basically, I would say, considered a few options. Paid advertising was one. And problem with paid advertising is that they use a bidding system, so the cost per acquisition is skyrocketing, especially after COVID. And what we found is that it's a very expensive way to get eyeballs on your business, so unless you have like some sort of like lifestyle business, you know, you're selling shirts and hoodies, then yeah, I mean, Facebook ads probably are your best bet. But some problem we had with our companies is that there's just quite a lot of competition getting introduced to the market, and it was not a very scalable channel. Plus, when you double your ad budget, for example, doesn't mean you get double them conversions. So the return on investment on your ad budget sort of goes, is diminishing over time. And we tried cold outreach, and obviously that's something that helped us kind of get some early users in. But the price point of our product is, I think we started at like $15 a month. So it's not a price point that you would hire salespeople in the US and go door to door and start selling, right? Right. So I would say that the platform was very affordable, but at the same time that introduced some new restrictions in terms of how we could acquire customers profitably. So we landed on SEO and we were like, guys, this is awesome. Let's see if we can try to build this organic channel so that not only we have to, we won't have to go and chase after every single customer, but also it's a scalable channel where we can build on top of over the years. And just to give you some background, now Visme is now getting over 3 million in monthly organic traffic, over 14 million active users. We're completely bootstrapped, never raised any outside funding. Basically, yeah, it's growing at a very healthy rate. So nice. I would say over 95-96% of our customers come directly through our SEO channels.
Well done.
Oh, thank you. It's not just me, by the way. Just a disclaimer that it's a very talented group of people. I'm a small part of that, but it was quite a great experience to be part of that journey. But that whole, I would say, experience sort of led us to the creation of Respana, which was a software that we had developed internally to help us build backlinks. And that was sort of the key there. And I'm happy to dive more into it. But it was sort of a, I would say, our secret sauce at the beginning at our Visimi's marketing team. And it just worked extremely well. And we decided to release it as a standalone product. So that's how we ended up with Respana.
Nice. So in terms of the SEO that you were doing, are we talking about just written blog posts? How was that? How did that take form?
So that's what we started with. And we basically were doing everything what other people think of when they think of SEO. We're like, okay, well, we know how our customers are finding us. So let's say, George, let's actually go through this example. Let's say you have a business, right? And we're doing this podcast interview and you want to create an infographic for this episode. And say you don't have a solution yet. What's the first step you do in your research process to find a product like an infographic maker? How would you do it?
Search on Google.
Exactly. And so we knew that. We put ourselves in the shoes of a customer. Like, okay, well, we know where our customers are hanging out. We know the keywords are searching to find a product like ours. And the problem was, though, how are we going to get there? So, for example, we decided at first was we're like, okay, we're going to create some blog posts, right? How to make an infographic basically build a bunch of landing pages, sales pages, like infographic software, et cetera. And we put this out and people are just going to come and find us. And we did just that. For about 2 months, we went and started building all these blog articles and sales pages and did the keyword research, made sure our site loads fast and all the technical stuff that SEOs basically recommend. And so we put this out and guess what happened?
Crickets.
Exactly. It was not a single person, probably like two people came to our website. One of them was my mother and she's nice. My biggest fan. And sure. Probably, yeah, one other person. Yes, thank you, whoever that person was. So we were like, okay, well this was kind of discouraging because, you know, we're a small team and we spent all these resources. It was embarrassing to me, most of all. So we're like, okay, let's try to kind of see where we did things wrong. So George, let's say, can you do me a favor? This is exactly what I did one day. Can you open a new incognito tab on your browser right now?
Sure thing.
So that your existing search history wouldn't impact that search results that would come out.
And
I look up one of our target keywords, like presentation software, for example.
Okay.
All right. So you see how in the search results at the top, it sort of tells you how many search results Google sort of went through to find these. Do you see it at the top?
Yep.
How many search results did Google go through to get there?
Where is that?
I see
a lot.
3.5 billion.
Yeah, many.
And so at the top, obviously, you see some ads that everybody's kind of scrolls through and skips. But what do you see on the organic results? I want to make sure I'm seeing what you're seeing.
The organic of there it is. Visimi.
Okay, perfect. Nice.
Well done.
Awesome. So what you see now is the tip of the iceberg. So it took a good amount of work to get here. So it wasn't like, hey, let's go just make a blog post and it would magically show up. Because let's say if you're in the top 1% in terms of quality of content. So you hire the best writers, you have the best site, and you create a piece or a landing page that is the top 1%. If there are 3.5 billion search results, you're still in the millions in terms of ranking. But 99% of the clicks go to the top 10, which are on the first page.
Yeah.
So how would you go about millions, which is still a good ranking, you're still top 1%, which gets zero traffic to top 10. They were like, all right, well, let's see how Google works. And the way Google solved that problem back in the 90s, and that's sort of how they dominated the market, was based on this algorithm called PageRank, which obviously has been upgraded over time, but the core is still the same, where it puts emphasis on websites that get these backlinks and mentions from other websites. It's kind of a Mean Girls popularity contest, right? So the more other relevant authoritative sites are talking about you, that is a vote to popularity. And now that's hard to get, isn't it? Because now not only they rely on the information that's on your website, but also take a look at other websites and see if they're talking about you, if they're mentioning you and linking back to your website. And that's the real key that we found that basically propels forward in the search results. So then we started allocating our resources the same way. So we were still a small team, don't get me wrong. We didn't have a large, marketing team to try to figure this out. But what we started to do was to spend 20% of our marketing resources on content creation. So we're still producing a healthy number, I think a couple a month. And then the other 80% went into promotion and link building, which is the exact opposite way of how most companies do content marketing. And basically that helped us sort of build this machine that's now very hard to beat because we're getting consistently media mentions and directly pointing to our website. And that process though was extremely hard to implement because it's kind of hard, I would say easier said than done because it required a good amount of manual work and tons of time. And so we basically built a little software internally that helped us prioritize a lot of the things and automate a lot of the dirty work, mundane tasks so that we could now focus more on personalization, building relationships. And that whole experience led to Respondent, which wasn't called Respondent at the time. It was just an internal thing that we built. And it just worked ridiculously well. So we decided to release it as a standalone tool.
Nice. All right. So through your manual outreach, you would reach out to maybe a blogger who focused on...
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total at monarch.com with code AUDIO. That's monarch.com, promo code AUDIO.
I don't know why I'm trying to create an example. Give me an example.
Give you some examples. Sure.
Please.
Yeah. So one very good example is what I'm doing right now, George. You don't even know. That's interesting, isn't it? So one of the strategies that we run is podcast outreach strategy. So this is exactly what I'm doing because for going on podcasts as guests, so number one goal for us is to build relationships with people in our space. So, George, you have an awesome podcast. I'm not sure what you noticed, actually, but you're in the top 0.5%. So lots of people listen to your show, and it's within a demographic that makes sense in terms of the information that we have to share, right? So we can add some value. And building relationships with great hosts like yourself. So that's our number one goal. Number two goal is advertising to a niche audience. So now everybody who's listening to the show has heard of Respondent. We don't expect anyone to go and pay for our subscription right away. But now, next time you come across a Respondent blog post in Google results, and then you're more likely to click that, right? So it's one of those seven touch points that we'd like to kind of get our name out there. And also, more importantly, and what I wouldn't say more importantly, but we also get a link back to our website from your show notes because you're, obviously turning this episode into a written content most likely. And then, guess what you need to link to? Respondent's website. So there we go. So there's a link right there. So by link building, what we mean is not spamming the world and trying to, basically pester people into giving you a link. It's by building relationships, relevant, authoritative media within your space. And one of those really good strategies is the podcast. But again, that's one out of a few dozen different strategies that we run to get these targeted links back to our website.
Got it. That makes a ton of sense. Is it possible to know, here's the value of a written blog post, here's the value of a backlink, and how I should structure, like how many should I be trying to get? More is probably better, but...
Sure. So a lot of that has to do with keyword difficulty. So, or the amount of competition that is for your keyword. So like there are some niche that you don't really need links. Like for example, we had a customer in a plant space, and surprisingly enough, there isn't a whole lot of like content out there about plants, like specific types of plants. So I was like, hey, man, you don't really need to do link building here. It's like everything is very straightforward. It's like so many, so little like quality search results that you can just, you know, put together a really valuable guide and get up in there. But that's unfortunately, or fortunately, is shrinking significantly. Most businesses, I would say over 90%, are facing quite a lot of competition on search, because you have to remember there's only 10 slots for each keyword, and it's getting dominated by ads more and more. So what we basically recommend folks is that doesn't matter how much resources you have. What matters, and what the sweet spot that we found, is that you dedicate 20% of your resources on content creation, 80% on promotion. Now, if you don't have a whole lot of resources, let's say you're a one-man show, just don't produce so much content. You just create one really good piece of content that you've done proper keyword research for. And I actually have a process for how to find the right keywords, what we call opportunity keywords. I'm happy to dig into that if you like. But then once you create that piece of content, spend the rest of the month now on promotion. And we actually have a pretty good resource on different outreach tactics and strategies, one of which is podcast outreach. It's an ungated free resource on Respondent's website. So if you go to Respondent.com, the very bottom of the page in the footer is called Respondent Outreach Strategy Hub. And you can click that, and it just gives you ready-to-use recipes and templates for different outreach tactics. And almost, I would say, all of them, maybe 90% of them, you can do yourself manually. You don't need any tools per se. Respondent basically just helps you do what you do manually, but 10 times faster. But it doesn't mean you can't do them if you don't have access to all these fancy tools.
Yeah, I totally get it. So as artificial intelligence and software continue to sort of eat the world, how and as AI becomes smarter and is able to write better than I ever could dream of writing, how do you see, like how is the internet going to be able to sort through what a computer wrote and what a human being wrote, or will that not be possible? Does that not matter?
No, I think that is a great point, George. And I believe you're referring to the GPT-3 technology that just it's recently been very popularized. And I personally think I'm torn in a way that it definitely does. It does write well, but it doesn't communicate ideas as a human would, at least not at this point in time. So I personally think it's bad for the web to have so much AI-generated content. Google's becoming very increasingly smart in terms of picking those out, in terms of finding out, not necessarily penalize you, but prioritizing content pieces that people, users, get or engage with it more. And that's something that obviously doesn't matter the means to get there, but it's very hard to accomplish just by using AI. We still produce all of our content by hand and not only that, but like that writers are experts in the field. They're not just writers, right? So we have access to a network of freelance writers that we tap into based on their expertise. We're like, hey, we wanted to cover this and that, and just write from your experience. And we don't actually do any sort of keyword stuffing or any of that metrics, because it's something I used to work back in the early 2000s that doesn't work anymore, in a way that it's very hard now to actually get search results and stay there by producing subpar content, because not a smarter marketer is going to come and beat you, you know, within 7 days. So that's something that I'm obviously, I like the technology. I think it's got a tremendous potential, but I don't think it's going to replace human writing anytime soon.
Got a couple of years left.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I'm all for efficiency, but as I said, I mean, it's so much more than just writing. To fill space, it's more so about what value you can provide from that piece of content. And AI, the way they're trained is by reading the internet. They have read, I think, over half the internet to train their model. So obviously they could come up with ideas, but the thing that you can provide as a human to be competitive is sharing your experience. And that's what I'm doing right now, right? It's to actually come up with or information that you've gained through years of being in that field, not necessarily just to write and repurpose content.
Makes sense. Well, Farzad, the people are ready for that difference making tip. What do you have for them?
All right. So I'm gonna steal that from my co-founder, Payman, who is the founder of Visme. And one thing that he kept saying to me, especially the early days of Respondent, is that good things take time. And if you can power through, and most people don't, then you can accomplish great things. And just having that in mind, that it does take a lot more time than you normally think before you get started, either in the business life, personal life. But normally good things take time. That's what I'm going to leave it at.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets, come on. We always want it to go faster, but it's always going to take a little longer than we certainly want. So I appreciate that.
Of course.
Farzad, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you and Respondent?
Sure thing. So Respondent's website, we release a ton of quality content. Obviously, if you want to check out some of our pieces, you can go to respondent.com/blog. And that is respona.com/blog. So we have tons of quality content there. Site also from our outreach hub that I recommend folks to take a look at. If you want to connect with me personally, my name is Farzad Rashidi. There aren't a whole lot of us in the world, so I stick out like a sore thumb on LinkedIn. So that would probably be the best way to find me. But those two, I would say, are the best ways.
Awesome. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Farzad your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to respona.com. It's respona.com. And then go to respona.com/blog to check out all the great resources and figure out how it is that they're able to rank right at the top with all those trillions and billions of searches that are going on out there. Thanks again, Farzad.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, George. This was fun.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.